for all your sins, even when you was, he paid for all your sins, even when you were still dead in your sins. It tells me of not receiving the judgment that we actually deserve. Instead of the judgment that we deserve for our sins, we receive eternal life and so much blessing. So on the one hand, grace for me means mercy. On the other hand, kind of divine enablement. It just speaks of what God enables us to do through His grace. And it's this past time I've just came to a place where I knew that God really wants nothing from us except to come boldly to His throne room of grace. And that's such a liberating thing to realize that we don't have to do things to please God. He's already pleased in just watching you, in watching you here today, just worshiping Him. He finds so much joy in that, that He's not interested in all the things that we can do for Him. He just wants us to come into His presence boldly. Okay. I want to read you a story today out of Matthew 18. It's actually a parable that Jesus told. You all know it quite well. It's Matthew 18 from verse 21. Okay, from verse 21 it says, "Then Peter came to Him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, my Bible has a little footnote that says 10,000 talents is, in that time, was like the largest sum of money imaginable. I don't think what's the largest sum of money imaginable for you today, but probably like a zillion Namibian dollars, if that exists. Where are we now? Okay, the servant therefore fell down. Oh, no. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." Okay. Yeah, if we read the story, we see that this guy owed him that much money that his own life wasn't enough to pay it back. Nor was everything that he had wasn't enough. He had also his wife and his children. They had to be enslaved to pay off the debt. And the guy promises the king here that he'll pay it all back, but I doubt whether he'd get that much money together ever. And then we see that the king, being gracious, was moved with compassion. He looked at this guy and he was moved with compassion. He said, "No, I'll forgive you all that debt and I'll release him." He didn't even lessen the debt or something. He said, "I'll forgive you all of it and you can go." And I think you'll all agree with me. That's quite a bit of grace. Now, the people of Wintergood tell me that they're good stewards with their money. They'll never get into that much debt. But today I want to tell you that we're all in a whole lot of debt. Even if you've only done once in your life, then what we deserve is eternal pain and suffering. And for our debt, God couldn't put our debt on the onenbare skuldewippie. He couldn't write it off and say, "This guy can't pay. Let's just forgive him," because He's a just God. A price had to be paid for our sins. And that price was His Son. The amazing thing for me is, when I thought about this the first time, it was quite crazy. When God decided to give His Son to you, He wasn't disillusioned to who you are. He knew exactly who you are. And he knew all of your shortcomings. He knew all of your sins, all of your weaknesses, whatever. He knew all of that. And he decided, you're worth it. I'm going to give my son for you because you're worth it. And God actually placed worth on our lives by loving us that much. And that's amazing grace. Okay, and then in the next part of the parable, we see that this fellow, okay, I haven't read it yet now. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, the footnote here in my Bible says that's very little. I don't know exactly how much, but a parant. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, if we didn't read the first part of the story, if we only started reading from there, there's a guy that owed him 100 denarii, and the guy was and the guy wouldn't pay back his debt. We'd think, oh, that's fair. He owes him the money; he should give it back to him. But when you read the first part of the story and you see what has been forgiven, what this the 10,000 talents that guy was forgiven, then you suddenly look different at the second part of the story, and we're easy to say, like, yeah, because we realize what that guy received. Just an example of that. Say someone comes up to you. Or let's put it this way. Say you have $1 million in your bank account. Okay, now, but you don't know about this million. It's lying there, but you don't know about it. And someone you think you have $7.56 in your account. And someone comes up to you and he asks you for $10 million. You won't give it to him because you think you don't have it. And you'll tell him, no, sorry, I really can't give this to you. Well, if you knew about the $1 million in your bank account, it might have been a different story. You'd be in a much better position to give. You'd know that you actually can give this guy and bless this guy with a 10 rand. And I think with us and God, it's much the same many times, because I don't think we realize how much love is available for us. I don't think we realize how much grace is available for us, how much forgiveness, how much blessing is available for us. If we realize that those things are in our bank accounts, how much easier would we give them out to the people around us? And that's actually what I want to talk about today, this the overflow. Okay. You know, we need to love like people who are loved. I like to think in practical examples. Say you're like a bucket, and God's filling you up with water, and now your bucket is full, and you come to a place where you feel you're stagnant, and you don't feel you're growing in God. And it's, for me, it seems like, okay, there's no more place in the bucket, you can't receive more. But if you're like you can't experience more of God's love. But if you're like a funnel with a big inlet and a little outlet, and you're receiving God's grace, you're receiving his love, you're receiving his blessing, his forgiveness and everything, but you're letting it flow through to all the people around you, then you're constantly receiving more and more of God. You're getting to experience more of his love, more of his forgiveness, more of his blessings, because you're giving it out and you're not keeping it all for yourself. Okay. We need to give like people who receive. We need to forgive like people who've been forgiven so much. And we need to give grace in the abundance that we're receiving it every day. And we also need to celebrate each other. I find that this is almost in modern day culture, it's a hard thing for people to do, is to celebrate other people's giftings, other people's anointings, what God's doing in other people's lives. It's like when you have a testimony to tell of what God in your life, you're so excited and you just want to tell everybody. And when someone tells you this crazy testimony of God in their life, like, oh, that's cool. And But I think we really need to come to a place where we celebrate each other's giftings, each other's anointings, and what God does in each other's lives. Yeah. And I also think that if we realize the worth that God placed on the people around us, we'd also look at them differently. Okay, at this point, I'd just like to announce one of the members, Jan Cor didn't, introduced today. He's a very special guest. We're really honored to have him here. He's the son of a famous person. So I'm just going to ask you to stand up. Gustav, can you please stand up for us? Gustav is the son of the Almighty God and of the Creator of the universe. And we're very privileged to have him in our midst today. Thank you, Gustav. Oh, and his birthday as well. I think if we realize the worth that God placed on the people around us, we'll realize that they are worthy of our love, they're worthy of our friendship, of our affirmation, and of our celebration. Okay, I just want to read you another scripture. Matthew 10 verse 8 says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, because freely you have received, freely give." Now, I just want to emphasize that. Freely you have received, freely give. Another scripture, 1 John 3, verse 16 to 23. Says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." Okay. So practically, I always like it when the pastors get practical. And so how do you do these things? So what are practical ways to give grace, to be a funnel rather than a bucket? Okay, the first point I've got here is give people glory for the 5% or the 1% that they get right, because God does. God gives us credit and glory for the 1% or the 5% that we get right. Even if there's so many stuff still in our lives that aren't sorted out and that we're struggling with, that 1% or 5% that you're really faithful in with God, God gives you glory for that. And he says, "Look at what you're doing. I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of you." And we should be the same way with each other. Many times there'll be a guy, he's really sorted out and he's walking a road with God, and then there's this little one thing he's struggling with, and we like to focus on that just to pull him down a bit because we're intimidated, I don't know, or insecure, I don't know what it is. But we should start giving each other glory for the things we get right rather than criticize for the things that people are still lacking or still growing in. Okay, then I touched on it just now, is just celebrating each other. Watch and get excited about what God's doing in other people's lives, and encourage them and also pray for them. Okay, communicate grace and give unconditional love. A practical or example of that is especially when we're speaking to non-Christians, we have an attitude, we'll be your friend if you come to church, or if you'll get saved, kind of a conditional love. But we really need to start giving unconditional love, saying, I love you no matter what you do, no matter if you hurt me, no matter if you don't come to church, I'll still love you, because that's the way God loves us. Okay. And then to be builders of people. We really have the opportunity. There's life in our tongues, and we have the opportunity to build up the people around us, to invest in their lives by speaking into their lives and by praying for them. We can really be builders of people there where you are, at school or at work or studying, wherever you are. You can build the people around you to be greater than they ever thought they were. And maybe sometimes the only thing they need to get going is one word from somebody that will just tell them that they can do it. And we neglect to do it for, I don't know, many different reasons, but it's such a great opportunity to just be part of people's lives and to see what God wants to do in them. Yeah, and just to impart grace to other people. Okay. Yeah, this is my short message for today. It's just to really firstly know what's in our bank accounts, to know what God has given us, to know what's available to us. Many times we feel like we don't have anything to give to the people around us. We don't have enough love. We didn't receive enough love, so we can give it off. We didn't receive forgiveness, so we struggle to forgive a person. Or we didn't receive blessing in this area, and so we can't give blessing. But I just want to tell you that your bank account is full. God loves you so much, and God has so much grace available for you, and so much blessing available for you. Your bucket isn't big enough for what God wants to give to you. So yeah, I really pray that everyone will turn into funnels today. Amen. Okay, as a band come up, will you guys just stand with me quickly? Just gonna pray for us. Yes, Lord, we just praise you for a wonderful morning, Father, and thank you that we can just turn our eyes to you again this morning and just look at what you've done for us on the cross, Lord, that you sent your Son, Father, and yes, Father, it's because you loved us so much, Father. Thank you for the worth that you placed on our lives, Father, and when we were still dead in our sins, Father, that you chose us and told us that you want relationship with us, Father, and we just want to praise you for that this morning. And Father, we also just want to come and say that we don't want to be buckets, Father, just keeping it all to ourselves, Father. Please enable us, Lord, to just pass it on, Father, not to keep it to ourselves, but to give it to each other, Father, and just to extend your kingdom that way. In Jesus' name, yes, sir. If there's anybody, I just want to call out two groups today. If there are people that felt like you've become a bucket over the last while and you've been keeping everything to yourself and maybe you haven't realized what's available for you. If there are people like that, I just want you to just boldly come to the front, and we're gonna pray that God just opens up the gates, that what you receive you can just freely give, and in giving there'll be just so much more you can receive as well. Okay, so that's the first group, and you can come stand here on my left. Even if we worship, if you want to come to the front, then you're welcome to come. And then for the second group, maybe you've never realized what God has done for you. And when I just told you this morning that your bank account is full, you never knew that God loved you so much that He's placed that worth on your life. And you really this morning longing to have that intimate relationship with Him. You're really longing to know Him and to know that love that He has for you. If you're that person this morning, I just want you to come and stand here on my right-hand side. You can come now. Just boldly come. God is waiting for you. And even as we worship, everybody that feels the Holy Spirit prompting, maybe there's a tugging inside of you and you don't know what it is, that's the Holy Spirit calling you this morning. So I just want all those people to come to the front, and then we'll pray with you. Okay, thank you.
Just while we are in an attitude of worship, if we can just all close our eyes. And just this morning, while I was talking about we're celebrating people, even if it's 1%, right? And I just sense there's a few people in church today that it feels to you, or you actually long for God to celebrate you. It's like you feel that, you know it's not true, but it feels to you if like God only see the 99% that's wrong or the 95% that's wrong. And if you feel today that you've got such a need to know that God celebrates over you, I would just like to raise your hand. If you have that need or you need to hear that God is celebrating you, just raise your hand. And I also just, I know some of you, when you heard that that part of the sermon, it's something would stick to you. And I also wonder if you also feel that you struggle to see the good things in people. You're more like a critic than the one that always see the good things. I would also like you just to come forward, that we just pray with you and ask God to really open your eyes and to release you in seeing people through His eyes. So, but especially those that feel that they don't know God celebrating them. I would like you to please come forward. We can pray for you. Amen. And even now, while we're in worship, let us bring our 1% or our 99% that's good or not good. Let us all bring it before God. And let's worship Him. Let's honor Him with our good and bad things in our lives. Amen.